you came in tonight, you decided where you were going to sit, and most of you are sitting just about where I would expect you to sit. We get pretty habitual in our seating arrangements sometimes. Nothing wrong with that. But there's some passages in the Bible that talk about seating arrangements, and specifically about the seat of honor. Seats of honor and the seats where the chief seats, the seats where the big wheels sit. And then there's the lowest seats, the seats of, I guess, dishonor, or little honor, or no honor. And even some people sitting on the ground. I want to talk about one of those passages tonight. It's in Luke chapter 14. If you want to, you can follow along in your Bibles, read along up here on the screen. The lowest place, this is in Luke 7:14, starting at verse 7. The first verse, verse 7 there, Jesus was at a banquet, a function. A feast, and he healed a guy, actually, at that feast. But then, when everybody sat down to eat, Jesus noticed all of the different players, the different functionaries and guests in the room, jockeying to try to see who got the best seats. And it reads like this. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them. And this is something that's a little unusual to us. In many cultures in the world today, and especially at that time, the concept of honor and shame was much higher. The idea of status. We live in a fairly egalitarian society in which we generally don't make those kinds of distinctions in most cases. Although there's plenty of opportunities for people to argue and fuss over the pecking order or status. We'll talk about that in a moment. But back then it was considered to be the height of honor for you to get the right seat at the banquet. And if you got slighted and you felt like you were a more important person, but you got a less distinguished seat, that was kind of an insult, and it was taken very personally, and it could cause feuds and disputes that sometimes would last years. I know it seems remarkable. But as I understand it from statements in the Talmud, the Jewish kind of commentary on the Bible, these kinds of things were considered to be very important among the lawyers and the doctors, and by doctors I mean doctors of the law, and rabbis and distinguished personages, priests especially, and high priests especially. And so there were just certain seats where you were closer to the action, more prominent, closer to the guest of honor, being the guest of honor, and you expected to get those seats. And if you were a more important person, you expect to get a more important seat. And sometimes they would actually tussle and, you know, have a little bit of dispute about, you know, hey, I'm more important than you. I need to sit here. Or and Jesus is watching that. And in my mind, Jesus is smiling. Jesus is bemused by the whole situation. Maybe not. That's just my imagination. And he decides to tell a parable. It's not really a parable so much as making a kind of an observation. And he says this, you know, when you go into a party or a wedding feast that you're invited to, don't sit in the place of honor. Don't do that. What you should do, this is my advice to you, you should find the worst seat. Go to the very worst seat the lowest seat, one at the back, the one where the scrubs sit. Used to be at family functions and reunions, we would have the table where the kids sit. Yeah, I don't know if they do that anymore or not. We kind of give our kids more leeway than we used to. Find the seat with the least respect. Sit there. Because this is what will happen, you see. If you sit in a place of honor, somebody who's more distinguished than you, they may come along. They may come late to the party, or you may not have observed or seen them there. And you think you're sitting in the seat that's appropriate for your dignity, but someone more dignified comes along. And this is what happens. He who invited you both will come and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, you're going to have to move. There's someone here that's more dignified, more important than you." And then you'll have to get up, and then the only seat that's going to be less is the lowest seat. And you'll do the walk of shame. Everybody in the party will say, "Oh, look at that guy. He got booted from the chief seat, and he has to go down and sit in a lowly seat." And that'll be embarrassing for you. And what a shame if that were to happen. So just avoid that. You go to the lowest seat to start with. And this is what will happen when you're invited. You go and you sit in the lowest seat so that when the host comes in, he says, "Friend, hey, you should be sitting here. You should be sitting up here in the more important seat." And he'll move you up. You'll get an upgrade. I tell you, I've never flown first class. I always walk. And I said, "Man, somebody made a mistake. They only put four seats in this section." I don't know what it's like to sit in first class. They say if you ever do it, it'll ruin you. I don't know. Yeah, no. But just go and find the lowest seat and sit there. And then the guest, the host, he'll say, "Oh, hey, no. You need to sit in a more honorable seat." And he'll bump you up. He'll upgrade you. And you'll get the accolades and the recognition and the honor. And everybody say, "Oh, look, he's more important." And that's the way to handle that situation. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. And that was Jesus' advice. Now, I've often wondered, why did Jesus say that? Why does Jesus care whether you get the seat of honor or not? Well, the answer is he does it. And the key to this whole passage is this verse right here, the next verse, verse 11. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And that's the key, because that's what Jesus is really talking about here. And as you look at how Jesus uses this saying elsewhere, you realize that he doesn't really care. He doesn't care about status or order or pecking order. The world does. The world's all about who's in charge, who gets credit, who's most important, who gets the lion's share on the billing. Who gets recognized as the founder? I watched a movie a while back about a guy who supposedly is the founder of McDonald's. The title of the movie is "The Founder." And Kroc, I think his name was. But he wasn't the founder of McDonald's. There was a couple of brothers that he found who had McDonald's. The restaurant had a great idea for making hamburgers quickly, and he kind of took that and ran with it. But it was painful to him to have to admit that he didn't really start that. And so eventually he just kind of changed the mythology of it and listed himself as the founder of McDonald's. That's the kind of thing people do in the world. They want recognition. They want honor. Even if we don't have maybe the niceties of etiquette that a lot of places in the world do, we still have that desire for prominence, for position, for status. And we display it maybe in the clothes that we wear, or the cars that we drive, or the houses that we live in, or or when we get billing or something like that. The world cares about that. Jesus doesn't care about that. That's not what this is about. Jesus is not giving advice on how to play this game. Now, his advice might actually work in terms of being smart about playing this game, who's going to get the honor and who's not going to get the honor, you know. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about. If you look at how this concept is used elsewhere in Jesus' teaching, it becomes pretty obvious what Jesus is talking about. He's teaching that humility is the path to receiving honor from God. Because that's the honor that you want. You want God to reward you. You want God to acknowledge you. You want God to recognize you. And in the end, that's all that's going to matter. Now look for instance, in this passage. Look in Matthew 23, where Jesus, it really lays into the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, the lawyers. He really, woe to the Pharisees, Jesus says in Matthew 23. And he talks about him. He talks about what's important to them. And he says, everything they do is done for people to see. That's what they're all about. They're all about the honor, the accolades, the respect, the status. He talks about some of the things that they love, the place of honor at banquets, which is exactly what we're talking about in this passage in Luke 14, and the most important seats in the synagogues, and they literally had, if you look at archaeological digs, they literally had seats that were especially set for the most important people. We went to the oldest synagogue in the Western Hemisphere. It's in Curacao, Willemstad. And they had all of the seats down on the floor in this synagogue. It looked very much like a church building. And they had the seats up in the balcony. I think that's where they kind of made the women sit. I don't know. But then they had this special set of benches that were elevated and up, and they were more ornate. And that's where the big dogs got to sit. Jesus says, that's what these guys love. They love these places of honor in the synagogues. And they love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and be called rabbi by others. And of course, what Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, don't do that. That's not for you. Don't be called rabbi. Don't elevate yourself. Don't do that. That's not for you. He goes on to say in verse 11 of Matthew 23, the greatest among you will be your servant. And again, we don't really have a strong concept of this, but a servant was a slave, generally, or at least a menial. And he waited hand and foot upon the people of dignity and honor and status, and he washed their feet, and he waited on them hand and foot. And that's the word that Jesus uses, and he says, that's what you need to be. Be a servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see the context? You see what Jesus is getting at? Exalted by who? If you humble yourself by being a servant, who's going to exalt you? What is Jesus talking about? Of course, he's talking about God. He's talking about the Father. If you act like a servant, generally speaking, people won't exalt you. They won't put you up on a pedestal. Although, again, we have a little bit better society in that regard. We do honor and recognize people who serve. But generally speaking, the world at large, and certainly back then, they didn't do that. This is the revolution that Jesus started. The idea of the goodness of service. And Jesus says that's the path to honor, service. God will exalt you. And of course, Luke chapter 18 and verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He's talking about the sinner, the tax gatherer, or the publican, as compared to the Pharisee, the lawyer, The Pharisee, he goes in the temple, he says, I'm great, God, thank you for making me so great. But the sinner, he says, the tax gatherer, he says, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Be merciful to me. And Jesus says, that guy who humbled himself, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, exalted by who? By God. God will exalt you. God will lift you up. God will reward you. God will honor you. And that's what should matter to us. Not what people say, not what the world says, what God says. That's what Jesus is really getting at in Luke chapter 14. Again, James, his own brother, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. If you're poor, don't feel bad about that. Don't worry about that. Don't think of that as being a handicap or some kind of a slight or some kind of a loss. Glory in it. Glory in it, brother. If you're of humble circumstances, if you're poor, you glory in that. God's going to exalt you. Not necessarily because you're poor, but because you're a child of God. Or James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. He will exalt you. That's what Jesus is talking about. You see, you tie these passages together, you understand that James knew what his brother was talking about when he says, you will be exalted. God will exalt you. See, the lesson is we should not care about vanity and self-promotion. We shouldn't care about it. We often do, because we're like the world, we're human beings, we have that fault or flaw of ego, of pride. See, those three areas of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Oh, it'll get you. And we've all known people, and we've been that person ourselves sometimes. We don't necessarily give in to the lust, but we act out of pride. It's a hard thing to overcome. Sometimes it manifests itself in our relationship with our family, our friends, our own spouse, at work, at school. Pride, it'll get you. But our Lord says, don't care about that. If you get slighted, if you get disrespected, if you don't get the credit that you think you've got coming to you, don't worry about that. I know it's difficult. I know you think, man, I had that coming, or I did that. Why are they giving that guy credit? I'm the one who did that. Yeah, I know it's so easy to feel that way. Or why is this guy getting all the attention? You know what? Heard a woman the other day use that expression. You hardly hear it ever more. What am I, chopped liver? You ever hear that? What am I, chopped liver? I guess chopped liver was kind of the cheap stuff. I would assume it would be. It would be for me. I wouldn't pay much for the chopped liver. But Jesus says, don't feel that way. Don't feel that way. We should not care about vanity and self-promotion. We should care instead about what is valued and honored by God. And a strange thing, God values and God honors humility. Accepting, you know, it's. I'm not talking about necessarily just knuckling under because you have to say, oh, I guess I got to take the lowest seat. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you go to the lowest seat. You go there. You let other people get credit or accolades or rewards. And we're not talking about money here necessarily. We're talking about, you know, just lifting other people up. Let somebody else be the funny guy. Let somebody else have a success. Let them win the game. You know, I don't know. Just give space to people to have joy or some kind of accomplishment or what have you. You know, you just take a step back in the background. Doesn't matter, especially in the church. You know, the church is not about credit. It's not about who's in charge. It's not about... It's really about the honoring of God, the glory of God. And sometimes, and this happens in churches sometimes, you know, people get into a pecking order kind of a dispute. And as I understand the reference, pecking order, it's about birds. And I think specifically about chickens. And some chickens rule the roost, and they peck the lesser chickens. And the lesser chickens don't peck the other chickens, and I don't know why, but you know, all animals are creatures of instinct, I suppose. And there's always an alpha chicken, I guess. And the lower chickens get picked on. And so that's where the pecking order came in. Well, you know, maybe I take a few hits. And I don't peck back. We should care about what is valued and honored by God. And serving others and giving them preference and avoiding credit, or not necessarily being interested in credit. Because it may happen in your life that if you do like Jesus says, and you take the lower seat, you take the back seat, or you take the less obvious role, and you serve, and you might get credit for that. Somebody may come along, maybe at your funeral, you know, and say, this is a good guy. Look how great a guy he was. There's nothing wrong with getting credit. Nothing wrong with being honored. And if you are honored, good. Good for you. But don't care about it. Don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. God will take care of that. And really, it's a very peaceful and serene and less stressful way to live your life. You just, hey, I'm just going to do what's right. I'm going to do the good thing. If I don't get credit, who cares? It's all good. Instead of those guys who are jockeying for, you know, I'm going to get this seat. Oh, you just, hey, I'm going to sit over there. Who cares? And you just watch the others with amusement, you know, like Jesus did. That's a much better way of living your life because God rewards such behavior. He does. God sees you. And that's the thing about this passage in Luke 14. Jesus was watching these guys. And he's watching us. And he's watching you. And if you make a decision in your life and say, you know, I'm going to lift this person up and I'm going to take the less noticeable role here. I'm going to give them credit and I'm going to back away. God notices that. That's the way we ought to live our life. And Jesus goes on to verify that's exactly what Jesus is talking about in the same passage, Luke 14. He says, you know, it's not about getting repaid right now. He also said to the man who invited him, he said, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. So that's that same wheels turning. Who should I invite to my dinner that gives me the most prominence, the most score, the most points in the community? You know, I'll elevate my status and maybe they'll turn around and invite me, make me the guest of honor, and I'll get, you know, and everybody's jockeying for that position. And Jesus says, don't live your life that way. Don't live your life where you're constantly trying to get some kind of payback, immediate payback from what you're doing. Don't do that. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. These people can't do anything for you. They can't reward you. They certainly won't give you any status in the community. You know, and again, you know, where it's a little bit different in our society, which I guess is a good thing. But if somebody threw a party and invited all of the destitute to it, they'd probably write him up in the paper. Great guy. That's not the way it was back then. But that's the mentality that we ought to have, you know, and help the people that can't help you because they cannot repay you. They cannot repay you. And the fact that they cannot repay you, that's good. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And that just seals the deal. You know, that just shows that's exactly what Jesus is talking about the whole time. He's talking about exalted by God, rewarded by God. And I'm not talking about getting a bigger mansion in heaven, you know, although some people get that concept. You know, I'll get a bigger place in heaven. I don't think there's going to be this kind of jockeying for real estate in heaven either. I think just being in the presence of God, loved by God, being in that glorious circle, I think that's going to be a sufficient reward for any one of us. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And that, see, that's what separates us from the world. They don't live for that. They probably don't even believe in it. But we do. We believe in that. And believing in that frees us from any kind of need to focus on or stress over whether we get paid back or not in this life. Or we get the credit that we think we deserve in this life. Frees us from that. We don't care about that because this is what we are about. We believe in this. And that's what Jesus taught us. Our master washed the feet of his disciples. Our master was executed as a common criminal by the Romans and treated in the worst possible way. He chose to let that happen to him because he knows what he's trying to teach us, that he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And our Lord is exalted. Exalted in heaven above all. And he reigns from heaven, and he will be there for you. The meek shall inherit the earth, as our master teaches. In conclusion, don't worry about recognition, respect, or honor now. Don't worry about it. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. Who cares? They will mean nothing later. There's nobody's grave that says, got the tombstone that says, I got the best seat. It doesn't matter. And even if it says it on the tombstone, that wherever they are, they don't care about that now. Serve and exalt others. Take the lowest seat. Take the back seat. Take the lowest seat. Choose to do that. It'll mean everything later on. Well, that's my lesson. And there's a seat of honor right up here. You are the invited guest. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, humble yourself before the Lord by obeying the gospel, declaring your faith in Jesus Christ, who humbled himself for you. And he is exalted up to the right hand of God. He reigns from heaven. He's looking down on you. He's trying to figure out what seat you're going to take. Will you take this seat? It does mean humbling yourself. It does mean acknowledging the wrong in your life and repenting and asking for forgiveness. And that's a little bit humbling, I know. It's the whole point, really. But if you will do that, the Lord will exalt you. Obey the gospel tonight. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing this song.